magnified. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit, you control my speech. Control my thoughts. Allow me to be just an echo of your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I always like to start in saying I don't like preaching. But sometimes I have to do it. Today, usually I always say this. Whenever I hear that I have to preach, then I start trying to think of things that I need to preach about or what I think people should hear. If it was up to me, I'll be preaching to like everyone here. But it's funny. That's what one of the habits I picked up being here, for Homer being one of my mentors, one of the habits I picked up a lot of habits from Homer, a lot too many. One of the habits I picked up is coming here and spending time with God, not because I'm trying to put something new in me to just preach, because if I'm going to preach anything that's just right there, I can't, just by sitting down and then thinking that I have a full revelation on something and preaching it, most of the time that's not going to be the correct thing. It might be kind of correct, but not correct. But I was sitting down here and I slept a good while pretending I was praying if anyone could have came in here. And it's funny, he changed the entire message completely. And it always amazed me, because I've never thought I'd be at this point of my life where sometimes I'm just laughing because, you know, I could hear God. There's a relationship there. And in this new generation, a lot of people talk about it. It's not religion. It's not about a religion. It's a relationship, which is true. But some of them aren't applying it right, because a lot of it, they don't want us. They just don't want to follow rules, period. I mean, we do know legalism is a set of rules that does not get you closer to God or closer to Christ. But with that, just like I was talking to Ashton earlier and I was telling her, we are not under the law, but we're still under spiritual law. There are things we have to obey God. There's a lot of things we have to do. We have to obey by rules. And we're not forced to do them. It's out of the desire of our heart. It should be. That's how it should be. But with that being said, there's a lot of it, when they talk about religions and a relationship, a lot of people don't actually experience a true fellowship. And I'm not saying I'm there yet, but it's always amazing when I hear something. And whenever things happen to me and I get to, I think about it, I'm like, am I making this up, or where's this coming from? And usually he always confirmed it. Just as I was worshiping and I was laughing of the things he's just adding on to the message. But that being said, today I'm going to talk about pretty much your idols, about idols, desires of your heart. Because in your relationship, throughout your journey with Christ, you're still in a flesh suit. You still have what you call a body. You still live in the fallen earth. And usually when we're walking with God, sometimes the devil is really tricky. There are things he'll throw at you that you think are God's. It's just God's plan for you. But with that being said, and one of the things that came straight to my mind thinking about it, it was the first thing is like someone always told me that good ideas aren't godly ideas. It's just like good intentions aren't always righteous. And there is a difference. And with that, it's just with some of our idols that we have, it looks so close to being something that is godly. And sometimes it is deadly rather than godly. And going into that, I want to read 1 Corinthians 2, starting verse 11. And he says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. The man, spirit of man, knows what's in, knows everything about man, and spirit of God knows everything about God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And just stop right there. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual things, it took me, not that, what I mean, it took me a while to understand it. But when I started understanding it, I start picturing it. It's like you could see, sir, we're in church. I know Homer talks about this a lot, of how people do worship just out of an emotion. And it's not authentic. It's not based on a relationship, really. It's just doing it, an act of looking godly, where you feel like you are doing something that looks godly. And usually it's to show people or to convince ourselves we're doing right when we're really not doing right. So when it says comparing spiritual things to spiritual things, I usually look at people. And I look at myself whenever I was not at the stage where I'm at. And when I come to church, I wouldn't want to worship. I wouldn't want to worship, but I still lift my hands, just do it, just go to the motions. And even at church, sometimes we come to church, we just sit there going through the motions. And usually back in those days, I could not understand why. I mean, why some people get so excited. And some people are doing it for real. Some people are building that relationship. And I start understanding, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. And it's that us, when we worship, being that we're spirit-filled, we're born again, let's say, born again to start, because you don't have to be spirit-filled to have a communication with God, a real communication with God, but being that we're born again, we become His son or daughter, and from there, your fellowship is spirit-to-spirit with Him. And that's why some people cannot worship. They find it boring, they find it not saying that they're not born again, it's just they haven't reached that place where it's being compared. Where you really, it means the scripture, it means deeper than that, but that's one of the comparisons that came to mind when every time I read this verse, and I've been going through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians for the last week, and after that verse, it actually says, but the natural man, meaning someone who is not born again, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So once you are born again, you can compare those spiritual things. And not only that, it did say earlier that it comes starting in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So not only are you able to compare spiritual things, but you will grow and grow and grow to knowing the things that are of God and that's been given to you by God. But someone who is not born again or someone who is in the world, they cannot receive that, not only that, it's foolishness to them. It's like some people don't understand why, for using an example, right now I'm involved in a business. I mentioned it just to say I'm involved in a business, and sometimes they ask me for certain things and have certain demands, and they can't understand why I would rather choose going to prayer than doing that. And to them, they're like, "Well, God would want you to be." Well, it's look like I'm going to end the message, but now they'll think God would want you blessed. God wants you to prosper. That is true, but it could be taken in the wrong context, where that's where prosperity messages come from. But they don't understand that instead of me trying to go build this and build wealth, sometime I would rather just sit in my butt down and pray and fellowship with my brothers and sisters and grow that way. So they cannot understand. And there's certain things I say, they don't understand. There's certain things me and Carl talk to people about, they don't understand. Why? Because they're not born again. And to them, it's foolishness. And it's like if you're looking as a Christian, if you strive to live right, you'll be persecuted for the things that you do right. Because the thing is that saying you're a virgin or celibate is a curse word now. Because in this modern age, what it is, that's all that's being promoted. and saying you don't drink, you don't do drugs or any of that, you find that boring or you don't find any pleasure in there, some people would think you're stupid. But that's the thing. What you want to do when you're doing right, the right that you're doing is foolishness to them because they are of the world. They're not born again. They can't understand it from a spiritual standpoint. But I was saying that to say is, usually sometime as we do on our walk, whenever we're away from that lifestyle, away from the old lifestyle, becoming a new man or a new woman in God, and usually on that journey, distraction comes. Usually in that journey, a lot of things come because the devil is going to throw things at you. Why? Because if he sees you growing, then you become a threat. You're one person that is not going to hell, in a sense. Where to him, his army just decreased by one. If you're a lukewarm Christian, then he's probably fine with you. He probably won't bother you much. But if you are going forward and truly going forward in Christ, then that becomes a problem for him. And usually he throws distractions, and he throws a lot of things, which goes into the idol talk that I'm going to talk about, where sometimes we don't see the things that become idols in our life. Sometimes we don't see how certain things aren't of God or are of God. Sometimes we don't even know what are the things freely given to us by him. And going again, somehow I'm still using my business and even my business. With my approach with the business is that this could be deadly, being that I could completely be successful in there, and where money takes you way out there, because usually what happens when you're growing, when you're growing, money is easy to love. And remember, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money, which it says in Matthew. And usually sometimes people don't understand that that's what's taking them away from church. And that being said is that I know it could be deadly for me because I have a great chance of being successful in that business and it promised good wealth. But also, I know if I sit my butt down, I pray, and because as Romans 8 says, when we utter those mysteries, the Spirit intercedes for us according to God's will, which means when you pray in tongue, you're eventually going forward. And it just as Pastor always said, it's like a GPS, it's like Siri. Whenever you go the wrong way, they recalculate, and it still take you the right way. But it's the same thing with God, and the same thing praying in tongues. You can make certain mistakes, he's still going to guide you to the right way. You don't have to make them, but sometimes we do. But with that business, looking at it, I'm like, okay, it could be completely deadly, but I could be successful in the world where I bring that into the kingdom. And with that, I had to sit down and evaluate. I'm still evaluating every day to see what is the right standing. What is the Holy Spirit saying about it? Am I making it up or am I making these ideas? And usually what happened in that, we have idols. We create idols. It's like some people, some things walk in their life and they think it's of God and it's not of God. And sometimes it's the things that they go after looking for love or looking for happiness. And usually that happiness or love or whatever it may be, it replaces what God could give them. Even though sometimes we know that the void that's in us, that makes us going out there to go find it in whether relationships or whatever it may be, we know that it's found in God, that happiness is found in God, but sometimes we still go towards those things and they become idols in our life. And they sit on the throne of our hearts instead of God. Well, then good intentions start becoming godly to you when really they're not, or righteous decisions when they're not. And that's where good ideas start coming when they're not God ideas. And the devil usually used that as a trick to actually trick a lot of Christians. Because what happened when you start having success in anything, or you start finding happiness in them, then there comes a glory with it. Not the right glory, but there comes a glory with it. And I mean that by saying, just like when I was a runner. When I was a runner, I was a D1 runner, elite runner, or however you want to place it, I was one of the top in the state. And And to me, they, I didn't see what it was. And I was just talking to ex-teammate, and I was just telling them how it's crazy the attention that I used to get. I did not notice that I was getting that much attention. It's like I lost a race. They didn't even interview the guy who won. They just came to me on the floor and interviewed me. And it was, I didn't see how addicted I was to that glory until I got to college. And what happened when you start become successful, you start going that way, it's like running wasn't for me in college. I'm not crazy enough to wake up at 6 o'clock to go run, but that's what they required. But I wanted to do it because I love what came with running. So it made me happy. Running didn't make me happy. It was the glory that came with running that made me happy, because I like the attention people gave me. I like the fact they're like, oh, I bet you won't race Alex. Now if you tell me that, I'll just say, yeah, you win. Because I won't pull my muscles trying to race you anymore. But saying that is that, just like as that consumed me, and that I love the glory, where to a point where that time I was trying to see God, but all I cared about is the running, because that brought happiness to me. And it's the same thing with the things we have in our lives and even in our walk. Satan comes more with craftier ideas. He tries to be more slick than ever. Because he'll probably throw a relationship at you and say, okay, this is the perfect one, where you have to pray it out to know whether it's right, whether it's God's relationship. Two Christians dating doesn't make it holy. Sometimes the Christian partner you find could be the devil himself. Just playing. I'm not saying that about my girlfriend, just so you know. But it's like a lot of people I see put themselves in their situation where they think just because he's Christian or she's Christian, we could date because it becomes holy. No. You have to pray it out to find out exactly, is that God's plan? And we're not saying just be like one of those people, stay, you're not praying, not doing the walk, and you're just waiting till you're like 50, still waiting on God to find the one. Next you know, God never answers. You go to heaven, God's like, well, I've been trying to talk to you, but you're not doing the walk, so you can't hear me. But saying that is that you have to know what he has for you. You have to know exactly if it's right, if it's his will. If it's one of the things that he said that are freely given to us by God. Because he have things, he have the right things for you. He have the right house for you, the perfect husband, the perfect wife. He has the perfect job, or whatever it may be, the perfect career. He has all those for you. But we have to keep seeking them and not let be distracted by Satan. Because a lot of it with business like this, like going back to my business, with business like this, I've seen people that they were sold out Christians. But when the money started coming in, they don't see how that started becoming an idol in their life, where they start putting more value to that than God, where they start putting their fellowship aside and going towards that. And a lot of us, we do that in a certain sense. We have certain things we're addicted to. We have certain things that we only make us happy. And we wonder why we're not growing, because we're not seeking that love that comes from Christ. Because once you spend time with God, you're going to grow. And you're going to get to hear him. If you're praying in the Spirit and really listening, you're going to get to hear him. You're going to get to hear his perfect plan. And usually some of those distractions, They're not Satan on just say, hey, I'm Satan here. Yeah, I got this plan for you. Usually people think the devil's coming at you with being red in a horn or whatever it is, dressed up as a red horse, I guess, or however it is. They have crazy images of Satan now. But Satan is actually, he disguised himself as the angel of light. So therefore, half of his tricks, they're not new, but they're still tricky. And it's just like I was thinking, how do I explain that and explain our growth with Christ? It's just they're both the same way. Whether you're going completely to the right, which is with God, completely to the left, or Satan, still one process, consistency. And it happens overnight. Little by little, it happens as long as the work is being put in. And usually the work that's easily put in is the work going towards the devil. towards the things of the flesh. Because it's just like I was thinking about it, it's exactly like having a baby in a sense. I don't go to the details, I'm not going to be too descriptive. It's just a baby isn't born right after whatever happens. It takes a process of 9 months. And the baby doesn't become a full human being. It takes them usually, well, I guess a full human being is 18 years old. I guess that's what let's say 18 years old is the mark. But what happened is that the things that he have to distract you, they'll be very subtle. They'll be very subtle. And they'll keep coming, and you won't see them becoming a source of happiness. You won't see those things as idols. You think as them as maybe a blessing. You think of them maybe as God putting something on my lap. And that's where you have to really sit down and evaluate yourself. And the one thing about that, when that process is going, the people who are in the world, they won't see why you have to be exact. I mean, you have to be sure of what you're doing. Because if you, let's say with my business, let's say I'm heading the getting successful and I'm growing, and I decided, let's say God said this is not it. I finally get it through you that this is not it, put it down. Guess what they're gonna think, that I'm crazy and stupid. That's where the foolishness comes in. And usually when we have those kind of distractions, it's hard for us to actually sit down and find out what is the right plan. Because sometimes we have people telling us this is right, because the world nowadays, any good thing is considered, I guess, godly. Because we have so many gods now, and anything, any good deed is what makes you go into heaven, according to them. Well, we know that's not true, because your works means nothing. The foundation is Christ. But any good deed, because being a good person will not get you into heaven. No matter what you do, if so, then Christ died in vain. Then what's the point of him dying on the cross? Because anybody could do good work. I've seen atheists that are real good people. I've met a lot of mean ones, but I've seen a lot of them that are real good people. And I respect them. I have some atheist friends that, even some of my old roommates, that I respect them. And I mean, their views, I pray that they come to the light, but their good deeds, they believe that's all you need in life. And usually the distraction coming from the people who are not of God is going to be, they're going to give you the same kind of motivation. Like, all it is good deed. When I made my choice to say, okay, school is not for me, I want to be here in Immokalee, I want to be growing with this ministry. Every time I talk to people, they want to get me back into school. They want to tell me how smart I am, which I like hearing. They tell me how smart I am. Why aren't you back at Bowdoin College? Why aren't you were at the top liberal arts school. What are you doing in poor little Immokalee? Believe it or not, sometimes Satan comes and tell me, yeah, what the heck you doing here? You can't outgrow here. But I have to sit down and remember, I have a purpose here. Purpose was always revival. That's why I'm here. And no matter how dumb it sounds of me being here, it never could make sense to people. Like, I have some mentors. I have mentors that are very successful people. They're rich. They live in Marco Island. And like, a lot of people are telling me, how come you're not touching base with those people? They could help you, especially in a business like that. I tell them that my mentor, the first thing they're going to tell me is, are you going to school? Why aren't you going to school? Why are you wasting your time in Immokalee? It sounds good whenever they're telling it to me. It makes me think, but is it what God wants me to do? And usually that going is, a thing that sounds good is what distracts us from the plan that God has for us. And the one of the verse following the chapter after that I was reading, that makes complete sense with this message. It's like, starting chapter 3, verse 11, it says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. and the fire will test each one's work. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yes, so as through fire. And the key thing that I wanted to print out in this one is where it says, the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And as Christians, if you don't know, when you're going to be judged, you're going to be judged by how well you live in your new nature, pretty much. Once you're born again, how well you obey God. And what this is talking about is the work that we do as Christians and the things that we do, the decisions that we made. And will it endure when it comes to judgment day? Will God say that was my plan, that you obeyed and made this happen, you obeyed? Because in many cases is that, it's sad to say, some preachers are preaching and they're not supposed to be preachers. Some evangelists are going out there and just practicing whatever they're practicing, but that's not their calling. Different people, they, so usually what's becoming in the modern world now is that you could inherit a calling. Well, that's not the case, because that was not freely given to you by God. Because what happened is that's why we have a lot of preachers preaching wrongs, a lot of preachers, because you can't go to college and become a preacher. There's ads that are hiring preachers. I mean, the qualification is in how well you're walking with God and whether you're called or not. The qualification is whether you want to do it or not. And the callings in the body now is becoming more like careers. It's like you could choose to be a doctor, then you could choose to be a pastor. Then what happened is that then all the work you're doing becomes a lot of it out of disobedience. And the last thing I want to happen to me is when I on Judgment Day, that everything I did, and God's like, after his trial, his test by fire, it's all gone. There's no reward in doing nothing that God commanded you to do. And it goes back with the message. We have to make sure in our life that it's not being governed by idols. We have to know that, we have to make sure that Christ is at the center of everything. We have to make sure that we are being led by him. He is a source of happiness. We're not trying to find it in a relationship. We're not trying to find it in maybe drinking. We're not trying to find it in drugs and whatever it is, in businesses or whatever it is. Because it's so easy. It's so easy to go find it, try to find it in anything else. And if you believe that's not true, if you look, there's people who go through relationships and relationships. No results. There's people who go through the process of doing whatever, drugs and drugs. People try from hardcore drugs. They start from weed or to go into crack, which is not fun, but I don't know. I never tried it, so I'm just saying. But they go through all kind of drugs trying to find happiness. They go through all type of business or whatever it is. I've seen people, again, I have my mentors. I know people who all their life, they've tried everything. And they can't seem to be fulfilled. And that's where God comes in. And that's where Christ comes in. And all they have to do is simply just let him be on the throne of their heart. When he becomes on the throne of their heart, then everything's going smoothly. Not saying it's an easy walk. It's not an easy walk. But personally, I want all my steps to be ordered by God. And if I miss some, oh well, I'm not looking back. I want all my steps to be ordered by God. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Do I miss the mark? Yes, I do. And have I made different decisions which I feel like weren't of God? Yes, I have. But now more than ever, I'm evaluating, seeing is this of God? I'm sitting down and praying. I'm reading my word. Is this of God? Or is this just simply a good distraction from the devil?
Because when the devil gets you distracted and you become consumed by whatever he throws at you,
then you're not even easy game anymore. You're just game over. Because some people, I mean, it's never too late to turn back to God, but sometimes whatever we love, we're holding on to, we love it so much that we won't let it go. We love it so much, we don't care how much it hurt us. We always believe that it's going to better us. It's going to the good's going to come from it. And with this message tonight, all I want to say is evaluate yourself. The decisions that you are making, think about them. Pray about them. And I'm not saying that if you don't pray about certain things right off the bat, it becomes completely wrong. As you praying and growing with God, there are certain things you know whether it's right or not. Because once you keep getting in tune with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a check when you're making the wrong turn. It's like there's certain things I enter. It's like this business is one of the things that my conscience is clear. I enter it, I see that where God could capitalize on that. Not everyone sees it, but it's whether he's giving me the red flag or not. And is it right? I probably don't know. We'll find out. It's the same thing with your life, your relationships, the school you're going to if you're going to college, your friends. And with that, with saying the things about your friend, how the wisdom of God is foolishness to them, also consider who you have in your circle. Consider who you have in your circle. Because some of the distraction that I see a lot, it comes from having the wrong friends. Because once you're not Christ-minded or like-minded, then what happens? They rub off on you. People say, well, my friends don't influence me. Peer pressure don't exist. Okay. I could look at most people's friends and can tell who they are. You say it's judging, but the proof is there most of the time. It's just like when I was in college, I was hanging around with all the rappers and people who are sleeping around. Guess what I did? I came from high school where I never drank to. By the second semester of my freshman year, I was like, there's nothing wrong with drinking. God said don't get drunk. But guess what? I was getting drunk. But I did it with a good conscience, according to me. They will influence you little by little. And we're not saying you could only have friends here. Some of us are too weird for you. They are. Kari's shaking her head. But at least find godly influence. Have godly influence. Because they'll help you go forward. Your friend's gonna help you keep sinning. They won't tell you, hey, that's not too much of a good idea. Find a godly friend, and when you think about doing something wrong, call them and see what they tell you. Like, if I call Renee, I'm going to do something wrong. He's like, I don't know. He won't tell me no. He's like, I don't know. Right there, I already know what that means. I don't know. And it's the same thing. If you're in the world and you go to your godly friends, they'll tell you. It's like when I was telling, justifying for drinking, Carl told me, well. And then, that's where I was really smart. Where I was reading a lot of books, I guess, and really going at it. And I felt like the need to debate with everyone. You probably say I do that now, but not as much. I don't debate everything now. But it's just, you have to evaluate yourself. You have to keep pushing to grow, keep growing. And we have tough time. I have tough time in my walk. And sometimes people say, how you do it being 25? And it's hard when you're young. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not even 25 yet. I'll be 25 Friday. But sometimes they say you're so young. But I look at it,
You got Harry. He's younger than me. Look at these two guys. There's a lot of you. Look at Cardi. You got Jasmine. You can do it no matter what age. All you have to do is desire God. And to make it a little bit easier on yourself, if you sit your butt down and pray, he'll automatically just guide you in. Because this world, they're looking for something better. They're looking for something better. Your friends are looking for something better. And if you sit and as you grow, you listen, I think we talk about, a lot of people talk about the greatest thing in this world is making an impact. It is. Let's do it as Christians. Be a light to people. Because they're looking, they're so much in so much darkness that they're looking for a light. I talked to three ladies, I talked to three friends 2 weekends ago. I didn't even try to preach to them, I didn't try to do anything. All I did, I played my little crunk Christian music. I'm jamming. They're like, oh my God, that's Christian. Yeah. Boom. Then we got into a conversation. And from listening to them talk, I could tell how much pain they're in. And they came to church, one got filled, and all of them had a great experience. Things that they're looking. You can do something. But you could be a Christian, which Al Homer have been talking about. Put on, put off. Start put on the right things, the things of God, and start living right, then you start getting there. And like, you'd be surprised how easy it is to start as you gradually do it. It's like walking in a fence. I mean, Omar used the example of the lady thinking I was stealing her money because I'm black. She said that, I laughed. I know I didn't steal any money, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care how you see me. Then she apologized and was nice about it. A Haitian lady cussed me out because I wouldn't give her exactly what she needed. She came back two days later. She's like, you're a good person. I'm like, you didn't think that 2 weeks ago, but thank you. And I'm not saying that because I'm a perfect client. It's the fact that I've been pushing and is able to make an impact. And I didn't know how much of an impact. It's just after I got out of work, I saw him post it on Facebook and they were talking to him. I'm like, oh, I was just like, whatever, lady. But going to what I was talking about is, desire God, man, and evaluate yourself. Because Satan tricks are not new, but they're tricky. They're tricky. And if you don't, as you're walking on this walk, you'll be steering away without even knowing. Unless you prayed enough where you have enough red flag just flashing that you just turn back. But even then, you could be at the highest point with God and you still could fall. A lot of men have done it. But spend time with Him. The best way to know the things that are freely given by God and what is right of God and what is right for you and what is His will is to spend time with Him. And one of the things we don't like doing is reading this. Jesus was the Word, and this happened to be the Word. I personally have this understanding that you can't tell me you know Jesus if you don't know this. I'm not saying you got to know the whole Word, but if you don't spend at least some time in this, you can't tell me who Jesus is. Because even when Satan attacked Jesus, he quoted the Word. Well, in the Old Testament, but he still quoted the Word. He was the Word, he quoted the Word, the Old Testament. So, evaluate yourself, set your focus, pray in tongues a lot, read your Bible. It's just like I'm echoing Homer right now. It's the same thing he tells you after every message. Read your Bible, pray in tongues. And there's happiness in this. There's great joy walking with Christ. And if I could do it, I wasn't as messed up as, well, not comparing to other people. I wasn't too messed up, but I had a lot of things in my life, and I have a lot of healing that's going, a lot of healing to do. Well, a lot of healing have been done. But that's it for tonight. Amen? Bow your head, please. Father, again, I thank you for everyone who is here tonight, Father. And I pray that the ones who have an ear to hear, heard something from you, Father. I pray that with them leaving here, Father, that they take in consideration the things that were said, Father, and that they evaluate themselves. They push themselves to build that relationship with you, Father. They build their foundation on you, Father, and gain wisdom as they're growing in you, Father, to discern the things that are of you and aren't of you, Father. I pray and bless everyone here tonight, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, you're free to go.